This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel. The title of this installment is Jewish Crypsis, Crypto-Jews, Part 2. We were talking last time about Muranos. Where that word comes from is controversial, what its etymology is, its history, and its meaning, and who used it. And I've used a source in the past, the Jewish Encyclopedia, which claims to be an online version of the Jewish Encyclopedia as of 1906. Not that I trust it all that much more, but sometimes when you put together several sources, you can sort of read between the lines better. And the interesting thing that I had focused on the last time at the tail end was how the word Murano, in most contemporary descriptions, you'll see that it's attributed, it has negative connotations, means pig or something else nasty, and that it was coined by anti-Semites and used against Jews. And I found a reference in the Jewish Telegraph Agency, which actually said that it was a word that Jews used. The Jews who hadn't converted used it for all Jews who had converted, whether they had were false in their conversion or not. Whereas the usual connotation of the word is that these Jews who had converted are bad people because their conversion had been false. But maybe I'm missing something with the meaning of that word. Anyway, the Jewish Encyclopedia provides yet another take on it. It doesn't say anything about it really being who created it or particularly bad, other than to state a few meanings that have negative connotations, but it doesn't make a big deal about it. It says the term, which is frequently derived from the New Testament phrase, quote, Maranatha, unquote, our Lord hath come, denotes in Spanish damned, accursed, banned, also hog. And in Portuguese, it is used as an opprobrious epithet of the Jews because they do not eat pork. So this is a almost totally different take. There's still the negative damned, accursed, banned, and hog business, but they claim it comes from a New Testament phrase I hadn't seen mentioned anywhere else. And they claim it has something to do with the Jews not eating pork, which was one of the signs of a Murano or a crypto-Jew. One of the ways that they give themselves away is their, even though they've converted to Christianity, they continue to refuse to eat pork. So some of them do anyway. This is an interesting article because it also mentions other related names for these crypto-Jews, calls them Christianos Novos, or Neo-Christians, I guess was the term around in English around the turn of the last century, and mentions the Chertas in the Balearic Islands, which I'll mention quickly after this article, after I finish with this. It talks also about the wealthy Muranos in Spain now, who engaged extensively in commerce, industries, and agriculture, intermarried with families of the old nobility, impoverished counts and marquises, unhesitatingly wedded wealthy Jewesses. And it also happened that counts or nobles of the blood royal became infatuated with handsome Jewish girls. Beginning with the second generation, the Neo-Christians usually intermarried with the women of their own sect. They became very influential through their wealth and intelligence and were called to important positions at the palace in government circles. And this reinforces what I've discussed before. The it's almost a contradiction here that they say it in the same paragraph that the Jews both intermarried with the rich and powerful non-Jews, and in that way gained a foothold, a firmer grip over their host society, and at the same time bred preferentially amongst themselves, which is one of the other ways that the Muranos give themselves away, is by selectively choosing other Muranos to marry. The other interesting aspect of this article is it goes into some detail about where the Jews fled from when they fled Spain, and in response to the Inquisition and the expulsion, the Alhambra edict or decree. And it mentions the two that I was aware of previously, which would be modern-day Turkey, or at the time it was the Ottoman Empire, and Netherlands, which this Jewish Encyclopedia article calls Flanders, Amsterdam, mainly Rotterdam, Antwerp. And both of those places have their own stories to tell. I could do whole installments either on the two of them together or each individually. So I won't go into further detail on them in this one. I want to focus on the others who stayed behind and converted to Christianity and became the crypto-Jews, or did that and then also moved to the New World, to the Americas. But this article, the Jewish Encyclopedia's article, is interesting because it talks about the Jews basically just went everywhere. Some of them went to France, some of them went to Italy, some of them went to North Africa. So they took off in every direction. It was just that Turkey and Netherlands were two major destinations. And as I say, the other two major destinations were staying in France, staying in Spain, I should say, as conversos, and traveling to the New World. In fact, maybe the least sincere ones were the ones who traveled to the New World because they thought perhaps in that new frontier that they would be freer to be Jews. And to a certain extent, they were right about that and escaped the Inquisition by moving there. But first, let me talk about the Zwartes. I don't even know how to pronounce this, but it's spelled with an X in some places, or in the old Jewish Encyclopedia, it was spelled with a CH. The Zwartes, also known as the Zwartans, live on the island of Majorca, the Balearic Isles also, which it's on the Mediterranean coast of Spain, off the Mediterranean coast of Spain. Barcelona, I think, is the nearest Spanish city to those islands. And it talks about how the Jews on Majorca actually were converted decades before 1492. The one paragraph in particular is interesting here. It says they were, this is a social group on the island of Majorca, descendants of Majorcan Jews who either converted to Christianity or were forced to keep their religion hidden. They practiced strict endogamy. And endogamy is a population genetics term or a biological term. It means breeding true amongst your own race. Breeding within your own in-group, as opposed to exogamy, which is what the Jews who run the media today encourage, especially white people, to do. Just mix it up. Find the most alien people that you can to reproduce with. This is an example of their hypocrisy. You know, they keep to themselves. And this is going to be, I think, the theme of this installment, is this strange and yet not so strange. It's easy to understand it once you grapple with this a little bit and take it apart. What keeps the Jews together is also what causes them to fracture into these separate communities. The Jews that convert are alienated from the main body of Jews. And there's a tension that's created, even though they, some of them convert back over time, and even 500 years later, we're still talking about them. They're still referred to as crypto Jews and known to be Jews, at least in a sense. But there is this unwillingness on the part of the larger, the real Jews who have remained Jews all this time, to accept them back. There's some lip service paid to the idea that these people are Jews, but the main body of Jews doesn't really want to take them back. And we'll see that as we get a little further into this. But at the same time, what makes these communities of Jews, these crypto-Jewish communities, stay together is their endogamy, their sort of drive, their imperative to breed amongst themselves. It's really the same thing. It's two facets of the same instinct, which is to breed amongst themselves tightly and to be skeptical and push away and resist any temptation to interbreed with other groups, anyone who's more alien. But as I said, they use it in a politically, as a political tool. They will interbreed with the rich and powerful of the host society and then fold back into their own, fall back into their own endogamous tendencies because of the benefits that that conveys. Now, the Majorcan Jews were converted. There's a particular Catholic priest, Vincent Ferrer, whose Wikipedia article I'll link, and they describe him as having very strong Catholic identity, and they don't mention that he's in any sense Jewish or crypto-Jewish, but they do mention how he converted many Jews, including the Majorcan Jews, and that in particular he converted one rabbi that eventually became an archbishop. And I think that this is something to always be aware of, that this idea of converting, that it was successful to a certain extent of converting Jews to Christianity, but then how much of what Christianity became is due to those Jewish converts. Once they were welcomed within the fold of the Catholic Church, what kind of hell and havoc could they wreak from within inside the church? And how much of what the church became is because of what those conversos did, even if they were sincere and stopped thinking of themselves as Jews. What about the ones that that didn't? Anyway, moving on here, there's a site I'll link, mijewish.info, which is and a page from that site is titled Crypto Jews, that talks about one interesting example is the Belmonte Jews. Now, this is related to the Majorcan Jews. This is an example of a crypto-Jewish society that converted hundreds of years ago. The Belmonte Jews converted 150 to 100 years after the Majorcan Jewish community, but stayed more Jewish, apparently. The Majorcan Jews aren't really viewed as real Jews today, even though a lot of them think of themselves as Jews. The Belmonte Jews in Portugal survived in secrecy for hundreds of years by maintaining a tradition of intermarriage, in other words, endogamy, and by hiding all the external signs of their faith. The Jewish community in Belmonte goes back to the 12th century. So I apologize. I thought that they had converted during the Inquisition. They were only discovered in the 20th century. So that's 800 years. Amazing. And that's in Portugal. Now, many of these immigrants from Portugal were secondary immigrants from the Jewish expulsion in Spain. In 1492, Spain expelled the Jews. Well, in Portugal, it was in 1497 that they decided to expel the Jews. And many of the early crypto-Jewish migrants to Mexico in the early colonial days were technically first to second generation Portuguese with Spanish roots before that. In other words, they were Spaniards had relocated to Portugal, and then they ended up going on to the New World. The number of such Portuguese migrants was significant enough that the label of, quote, Portuguese, unquote, became synonymous with, quote, unquote, Jewish throughout the Spanish colonies. So that's how common this crypto-Jewish and Marano phenomena was back then. So many perceived crypto-Jews were going to Mexico during the 1500s that officials complained in written documents to Spain that Spanish society in Mexico would become significantly Jewish. Officials found and condemned clandestine synagogues in Mexico City. Now, some of the accounts of crypto-Jews in Mexico and their history and everything will portray this as the fevered imaginations of anti-Semites, that there were indeed investigations, but they all amounted to nothing, and it's all just a bunch of paranoia. And this article, which is sympathetic to Jews, doesn't pretend that it was imaginary. In fact, cites contemporary records as predicting this Jewish domination or crypto-Jewish domination ultimately in the future. It reminds me of, the dire warnings in more recent history about what was going to happen to America or what was going to happen in Germany because of Jewish influence and Jewish rule. Anyway, moving along, there's another site I'll link titled The Association of Crypto-Jews, Hispanic Sephardi Crypto-Jews, and that's cryptojew.org. And when you go there, it's kind of a rinky-dink site. It has a rinky-dink appearance to it. But I think that this bridges nicely into the subject that I want to talk about here. You know, what makes me think of it as rinky-dink is what you see is a bunch of pictures of Mexicans, basically, mestizo-looking Mexicans that are dressed up in Jewish garb and doing very Jewish things, holding up their Torah and, wearing yarmulkes and smiling. There is like a hint of Jewishness to their face, but it just emphasizes this the Jewish roots that many of these supposed white Hispanics that outright mestizos are bringing with them into the United States with the flood of Mexican immigrants. And it segues nicely into this point that I wanted to make, that I said that this installment would really be about, which is the skepticism and the rejection by the core of the real Jews, the Jews who are still Jews and always have been Jews. And I want to make this point because you don't find the point made in the articles that you read about this. The mainstream articles are written by Jews, basically, and they excuse this. I mean, it's back to this, they have to have God so that they're not seen as ethnic chauvinists. They have to basically paint this rejection and skepticism by the Jewish core of these crypto-Jewish communities. They have to explain it away as something else, and they explain it using persecution as the main explanation. But the reality is that the core of the Jews don't want these people back. At the time when they converted, there was resentment from the Jews who didn't convert that these Jews were selling out. The ones who were converting were going to get themselves benefits. They were going to be able to continue to exploit the goyim and climb the social ladder in the non-Jewish society. And the Jews who had to pack up their bags and leave to stay Jews and go elsewhere resented the Jews who stayed behind and converted. And the Jews have a long memory, and really that's part of it, that they resent those Jews who left Jewishness and quote-unquote converted. But there's also a racial element to it, too. There's an ethnic chauvinism to it, which is those Jews who left mixed to a certain extent. They tried to remain true and breed endogamously, but to a certain extent they also mixed. And in the case of this Hispanic Sephardi Crypto Jews webpage, you can see it for yourself what the core of the Jews must be reacting to is you see a bunch of faces there that don't look all that Jewish, and that's what I think is the main source of the skepticism and rejection by the Jews. But just to give you an example, I've got several articles to cite here, two major figures that are trying to spin the story. They're trying to integrate these crypto Jews back into the Jewish people, and at the same time, disguise the fact that there's resistance to this idea. But you can read it between the lines. The first article is titled "With Children Under Chuppa." The chuppa, I think this is the elaborate setup that the Jews get married under. And it's a story about this crypto-Jewish couple, Colombian Jews, the article describes them as, that has spent several years of fighting for Israeli recognition as conversion seekers. And they want to basically live in Israel as Jews, and they've gotten resistance. And this article is about that. It's funny, the article, for all the mentions of persecution, and every time crypto Jews comes up, virtually every article talks about persecution, including this one. But of course, it talks about the persecution back then by the non-Jews. It doesn't paint the Israeli rejection of these people as persecution, although it easily could. And, that's to understand that supposed mystery or conundrum, you have to understand how Jews use that concept of persecution. That it's not persecution in the sense that normal people think of the word persecution. Anyway, this couple claimed to be descendants of a Anusim that came from Spain. And it even says that the woman says she knew she wasn't Jewish according to Jewish law, which means that she knows that her mother wasn't a Jew, so she can't be a Jew. That's what strict interpretation of Jewish law is. But they know that she knows that her roots are Jewish, which I guess means that her father was Jewish, or that her mother and her father had mixture of some Jews and some non-Jews. The trouble began when they tried to convert. They didn't receive a visa, and their request to convert was denied. The state of Israel asked them to leave, and they didn't want to. And so in steps Shave Israel and Chairman Michael Freund. And he writes, or he says, and the article quotes him, their ancestors, now just to remind you, Michael Freund, I mentioned him in the last installment, and his organization, Shave Israel, and he's one of the two prominent figures, the movers and the shakers that are making a big deal out of crypto Jews and trying to integrate them back into the mainstream of the Jewish people. And he says, their ancestors were taken from us, they were kidnapped from us against their will, and nonetheless, despite all the persecution, they continued to preserve their Jewish identity and pass it down from one generation to the next. Now, when they wake up 500 years later and are known on our national door, how can we possibly slam it in their faces? This is the persecution in the past and for 500 years, but not right now, to describe the situation with Israel. Another article about Michael Freund actually is about Michael Freund, and his work focuses on him in particular. And the title of that article is Columbus of Hidden Jews. It's from Ynet News in 2011. This is his life mission, according to him. He's been all over the world, to Chinese villages. There's a crypto-Jewish community there. India, there's another crypto-Jewish community there. There's Jewish communities all over the world, slightly mixed with the local populations, which is one of the things that makes it kind of laughable that Jews get so upset when you say Jews aren't white, Jews aren't European, and they insist Jews are European when they aren't really. Jews are all over the world, mixed in with all the populations all around the world, and yet they have a common biological and genetic heritage amongst all the Jews all around the world. They're all related to each other. So they are themselves more than anything else. in fact, they, this article about Michael Freund calls it an obsession, discovering remote Jews. They say he's an American immigrant. I guess he's living in Israel now, but he immigrated from America. They actually identify him as the founder and director of Shavai Israel. I wasn't sure in the last installment, but I've found out since. And it quotes the same sentence from that article that I read the last time about him in a completely different publication, so it must be coming from his mouth. To strengthen the connection, this is his purpose and his organization's purpose, to strengthen the connection between descendants of Jews in Israel and the Jewish people. And I emphasized the last time the Jewish people part there. He feels obligated to these communities, forgotten by history, but they haven't forgotten us. And it's interesting how he phrases it there, that as if history has forgotten these people, rather than, say, the Israelis. And he notes that these crypto-Jews haven't forgotten the Jews. It's the core of Jews that want to forget the crypto-Jews. By all accounts, there are millions of Moranos throughout the world. So it uses the word Moranos, even though there's negative connotations to that, and this is a Jewish publication that's printing this, Ynet News. The Moranos are living and breathing phenomena, but the Jewish world largely ignores them. That's, again, Michael Freund. Talks about how he's tried to get in Indian Jews into Israel, and he got a few in, but then suddenly the government stopped him. And he quotes him saying, "I simply do not understand why these wonderful people are stuck and forced to wait years before being allowed to fulfill their dreams." You know, he's trying to use the same narrative that they use to get aliens into the United States. I think he actually just sees it as an ingathering of Jews, distantly related, but still Jews. Whereas in America, it's really an abomination when they try to do it here. Anyway, there's lots of other interesting stuff that I'll excerpt in my program post on Michael Freund. Another figure that I wanted to mention quickly is Stanley Hordes. And he's the one who apparently is the epicenter of recognizing these modern-day New Mexican Latinos or Hispanics that think that they're crypto-Jews. And there's actually a controversy about this, because the way he tells the story is, yeah, they are. He takes them all very seriously about their Jewishness. And there's an article with him that actually talks about how can he tell. And it says there's no other way. He talks about names and how an ending of a suffix of ez or ez, es or ez, some people think that that's Jewish, but he says that's not reliable, and I would tend to agree with that. But it, again, the significance of the name comes up for Jews. And he talks about how the only sure way is to look at heritage, to look at ancestry. And then he goes on, they say, well, what about DNA? They ask him. And he says, well, you know, hey, DNA, they can't really tell. They can, actually. And he says, it's not important anyway, because Jewishness isn't about DNA. And then he goes on to talk about how it's about how these crypto Jews have tended to marry within their group. And he talks about how it's ancestry. So he's basically just talking out of both sides of his mouth there. It is racial. It is biological. It's genetic. And they just don't want to acknowledge it, because then that would be ethnic chauvinism. And in fact, there are other people who are very skeptical, and that's the main point of this installment, and that's the main takeaway here, is that for the most part, the core of Jews push these people away. They don't want them to rejoin the Jewish people. They're not the Jewish people.